Okay, this is episode 3 of Space Station Podcast. This is Mark's XX, and I'm with Jerry D. Finest tonight. Jerry, you want to introduce yourself further?
Yeah, what's good? It's your man, the Melanetic God, Jerry D. Finest from Chi-Town, Chicago, Illinois, not Chi-Rec.
All right. Well, tonight I want to get into a lot of different things, man. I want to start off with, because I know you into the music thing, like your influences, man. Like what started you to get into the rap game? What was that process?
So what's crazy is I started doing music when I was short. I had to be about probably 6 or 7 years old when I was singing at church. And, you know, my family basically was rooted in, like, you know, gospel music and stuff like that. And, you know, pretty much that's where I got my start. You know, I sang in the choir. I played the drums when I got old enough for the church and all of that type of stuff. And for the most part, I wasn't even listening to rap music like that. You know, if anything, what I first started listening to as far as secular music was R&B. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So I was listening to, like, you know, the music of the 70s, music of the 80s, stuff like that. What's that? The New Jack Swing, like Keith Sweat, you know, Boyz II Men, all of that type of stuff. Right. So I didn't really get into hip hop per se until probably, I want to say, 6th or 7th grade, you know. So, like, and around that time, like, you know, you had like everybody popping, Eminem, Jay-Z, you know what I'm saying? Like, I even went as far as back listening to stuff like Pac and Biggie. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't really until, however, crazy as it sound, it wasn't until I heard T.I. when I was in high school that I decided I wanted to actually do this. You know what I'm saying? So I heard T.I.'s album Trap Music, and I was like, man, I want to do this too. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I basically decided I wanted to do music.
That's what's up, man. I heard some of your stuff. I like it, you know, especially the message you got. We need that more than ever today. You know, we want to promote your album, you know.
I just dropped my street album, The Black Hole 2, which was a follow-up for my first project ever, which is The Black Hole. I dropped it on all streaming platforms, but the best place to get it is on my website, www.jerrydfinest.com. That's GERIDFYNIZ.com.
Right, okay. And so since we're on the subject of black identity, you know, I know you know about the Ados thing and, you know, everything that's going on with the reparations thing. What do you think about that? What's your take on that?
I love it, man.
You know?
I love it, actually. I love it. The fact that foundational black American descendants of slaves are finally accepting and honoring our culture, you know, because for too long, people would shame us. Feeling like, oh, you repping America. They don't care about you. Why you calling yourself American? They treat y'all like slaves, this, that, and the third. But the same people that will shame us for honoring our heritage and all that type of stuff are pretty much the same people that are immigrating here. So it's like, you know, y'all got some who we are and all of that type of stuff, but y'all still coming here, moving here from y'all country. It's almost like a con game. Y'all don't want us to love where we from, but y'all coming here and y'all thriving. Yeah. So it's like, fuck that. We owe the debt. Eat that shit.
They feel like we're not entitled to benefits, but we've been on this soil for 400 years. You know what I'm saying? So I'm with it. I just want to see the outcome. You know, I'm behind it 100%. So, but yeah, man, this past week has been a lot of things going on. I seen the revolt thing Diddy had in Atlanta. Did you peep that?
I saw some of the clips with, you know, T.I. and I guess Candace Owens going back and forth and then Killer Mike preaching to everybody. So I ain't really watched the whole thing. I just saw like some of the clips on social media.
Yeah, I seen some of the sound bites and who was it, Brother Gerard? He dropped some bombs. He was like, we should go up under one umbrella if we're going to, you know, try to push for that. And our reparations, we need to talk about a flag. We need to talk about what is our nationality, because black is not a nationality. You know, so there's a lot of things we got to do as a group, as a people, to actually further that type of movement. You know, I don't think we need it, but it's needed, I guess. They think it's needed because I guess we could be more organized that way. But we owe that debt regardless. You see what I'm saying? So, yeah, man.
When it comes to that, though, like, you know, that to me, that's kind of like a time-wasting tactic. You know what I'm saying? Because the minute you got people kind of unifying to say we need reparations, then you get those, you know, the uppity extra Negroes want to say stuff like, well, before we can get reparations, we need to start calling ourselves this, we need to start calling ourselves that. And it's like, that's kind of like a waste of time, because no matter what you're calling yourself, until you actually go for that shit, it ain't gonna happen. Because I remember I heard J.K. Morrison saying that before, and somebody else, and it's like, you know, just shut the hell up and get on code. We don't need to be going back and forth. Get this money first. When we get that bag, then we can call ourselves whatever the hell we want. You know what I'm saying?
Right. It is kind of counterproductive, because we've been in this business for so long. It really doesn't make a difference. It's like the Morris dudes, they try to claim, oh, I'm sovereign. But even still, you know, we don't have that economic thing as a group. You know, we have to get there before we even want to become fully sovereign.
Exactly.
You know, I'm all for understanding the history of who we really are and all that, but we got to look at it within the spectrum of reality too, about what's really, you know, happening at hand right now, the present. So,
it's basically what I call intellectual masturbation. And you know what I'm saying? Nobody has time for that. You know what I'm saying? We have to get our money first. Forget all that masturbation about what our name is.
Right. We gotta lean towards solutions right now more than ever, because we got so much adversity. Not to say we didn't have adversity in the past, but it's more so today, you know, with the destruction of the black male image, and you know, they pushing for the LGBT agenda, and you know, all that. I seen the Malik Yoba thing. It's a lot of confusion, you know, and they're targeting our communities. You see what I'm saying? So these things are needed. These topics are needed. You know, my generation, your generation, I'm gonna say our great grandparents or grandparents generation. I feel like they did a lot of good work. But in some areas, they did drop the ball. Some areas that, you know, they wasn't so focused on, or didn't think we needed to focus on, you know, 50, 60 years ago.
Right.
And so now we're really trying to play catch up right now. Mm-hmm. And so what do you think about the future, man? What do you think the next 20 years will be like in your opinion? You know, what do you think about that?
Well, you know, like one thing I try not to do is play Mr. Predictor. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But you know, just to be honest with you, one thing I would like to see is, I would like to see more black people unite on a code as far as empowerment. You know what I'm saying? Because if you think about it, now it's too easy to sway black folks against each other for a paycheck, you know what I'm saying, for some attention, you know what I'm saying, for pats on the head, whatever you want to call it. I just want to see more people unify on a code as far as what to do. I mean, I don't give a fuck about that whole idea of coming together. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because what you gonna come together for? You know, like, you know, because you have so many people saying that, and then people feel like, oh, if we get together and we just march and we just stand there and stand still. Like, no, I don't care if I'm in Chicago or you in Memphis, somebody is in the UK. As long as we got the same mindset, that's all we need. We don't need to be in the same place. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So honestly, if people get on code and we start sticking to the one agenda at a time that's focused and concerted, we can have whatever power we need. You know what I'm saying? So that's my mindset. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I want to see too.
Yeah, I agree. I believe that too. I think it's, people have this fantasy idea about everybody grouping together and kumbaya. It's not going to be like that, one, because we still are tribal people, you know? So the agenda, you know, like even like in Africa right now, you got Nigerians and South Africans killing each other, you know? So, you know, we're not a stable people even here, you know, we do that too here. So that one agenda for the greater good is what's ultimately will save us.
Right.
You know, because we all living our daily lives, we all got different opinions, but I feel like everybody should agree on, okay, this is for the kids, you know, it's not really about us no more. It's not about the older groups. It's about, are you willing to preserve your future? And what are you willing to do that?
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? That should be the main thing.
Exactly. Let me see. So how long would you say you've been conscious, man? Like, I know I started getting into it like 2014. You know, it was around when Tariq dropped the Hidden Colors documentary.
Okay.
You know, and I when I got out of high school, I'm only 24, but once I got out of high school, you know, I always had the urge to want to learn more and more and more. about who we were. So I seen that. And that just took me to the next level because it kind of filled the hunger. But, you know, the documentary don't give you everything. So you got to do a lot of research. So that one seed sprouted into everything else, you know. So, like, what was your journey with that?
Well, it's interesting because when I was in first through third grade, I actually went to an African center school. So I always had a sense of like pride and everything, you know. But after the third grade, I actually started attending a magnet school that was, it wasn't necessarily predominantly white, but it had like mixed races and all of that type of stuff. So, you know, seeing that exposed me to what I now refer to as systematic white supremacy at an early age. You know what I'm saying? And it's just crazy because, you know, throughout my life, I had experiences in which people tried to make me the black friend and, you know, tried to put me in that circle to, basically make me the token and all that type of stuff. Yeah. But something in my spirit never agreed with it. I always resisted it. You know what I'm saying? So I honestly feel that my what was the Achilles heel for me, I should say, was when I finally put down religion. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So, like, I think it was, it's crazy to say this, I think it was 2014 too, when I actually started reading this book called Christianity Before Christ by John G. Jackson. And it basically just opened my eyes to religion because, like I said, I always had a sense of black empowerment. I never felt that white people were better, you know what I'm saying? But religion was always that Achilles heel because, you know, I was one of those people talking that forgiveness shit. You know what I'm saying? I was one of those people talking about let's just forgive and forget, all that type of nonsense. But once I understood, you know, the systematic oppression that is pretty much rendered on black people through religion, it was it was a no-go for me to be like, man, fuck this shit. You know what I'm saying? So after that, I started reading more. I watched Hidden Colors 1 through 3, I think in 2015. You know what I'm saying? And then after I got the Hidden Colors, I basically just started adapting that to my everyday life. You know what I'm saying? So, like I told you, I started singing in church and I was playing the drums, but you know, learning all that, it wasn't nothing for me to just turn away from that completely. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, I never considered myself a spirit, you know, religious person anyway. I'm more so spiritual, but, you know, knowing what the whole spiritual thing resonates and how you actually supposed to live that life, you don't need to be in a church to be a spiritual person. So
I just
it wasn't enough for me to stop going. So, like, you know,
that was the same for me. It was a church thing even when I was younger. They say I used to mock the preacher, so I never liked it. It always came off as fake to me, you know. And it was always self-serving for this preacher or this God that they claim that, you know, to believe in,
right?
And you know, it just came from there. Like, I know a lot of people, a lot of people have had the same or similar experiences, you know. So my whole thing with this conscious thing, that needs to be the status quo. And I don't really want to even call it conscious no more. I want my kids to come out the womb, like, already with this 100 steps ahead of me, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the natural state of being in me.
Right.
You know, so when they try to throw the word like a hot tip or you conscious, you on your, that's how we all should be in my eyes.
Agree.
You know?
Completely agree with that. And it's funny you mention that about children because, you know, my son, my first child was born in 2012. So, you know, he pretty much was in what I was doing before, but once 2014 came and he actually started understanding what I was saying, it was easy to talk to him. He walks completely in the black empowerment lifestyle. And sometimes I actually have to reel him back in some because he can get a little bit emboldened with it sometimes. Like, he'll say something like, oh, dang, I don't want to be here. Daddy's white people here or stuff like that. You know, he's only 7 years old. So it's like, you know, he has an understanding on his own. It's not even that I'm feeding him anything or nothing like that. You know, he just basically sees how life is and he understands.
Right, these are star seeds, man. These are star children. They come here already wanting to go against this system and already wanting to, they already have a sense of identity. You know, like a lot of things are not taught. It's helpful to have those parents to guide them, of course. I know you're guiding them or whatever, but they come in this world, man, already ready to pop off.
Exactly.
You know, we have to cultivate that. I'm not a parent, but I mean, for those who are parents, we have to cultivate that in your kids. When you see something in them, or you see something that you see they got certain talents, or you know, all this, cultivate that, because we need it. I think a lot of times black parents, especially, they cut their kids off at the knees due to they, you know, older beliefs, say, in religions or what their parents taught them. You know, they'll cut their kids off when their kids are really ready to sprout. And they don't nurture that. They don't nurture this side of their kids.
Nah, they don't.
You know?
I'm saying that's definitely something that I'm not doing, though, because I see in him what he wants, and I'm trying to pour into that now. You know what I'm saying? Because I didn't have my my pops around when I was younger. So, you know what I'm saying? Just being a father, it just shows me exactly what I wanted. So I'm making sure I give that to him and my other two children as well.
Right. And that's the case with a lot of black men, man. We don't have our fathers around, so a lot of us, so we have to start from scratch. We have to learn what that is. What is that? You know, how do I really be the best I can be? And my whole thing, I don't know if I want to have kids in America, or do I want to go to, you know, some other country and raise them, because it's looking kind of crazy out here. So that's my whole, would you ever consider leaving the country, man? Would you ever consider repatriating back to West Africa or anything like that, or any other nation or area of the world?
You know, I thought about that, you know what I'm saying? I thought about that plenty of times. I mean, I have a passport and all of that type of stuff, but as far as, like, just leaving a country completely, probably not. You know what I'm saying? I probably, you know, if possible, have dual citizenship or something like that, if that's possible. But just completely living off. My ancestors built this country. I don't have no reason to leave. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't even feel like that whole thing will work anyway, because systematic white supremacy is everywhere. It may not be as pronounced as it is here, but, you know, the reason why those people are fighting in South Africa against Nigerians is because of white supremacy. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, the reason why certain stuff happened in other countries is because of white supremacy. So even if it's not somebody directly calling you a nigger or stuff like that, it's the same shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so yeah. I'd rather know what the threat is and be able to handle it, as opposed to just be somewhere and be completely defenseless. Like, I can't do shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I feel that shit. Because I feel the same way. I'm like, man, if I go to Nigeria, it'd be cool. But, I mean, they, you know, they even more Christianized. They believe this shit way more.
They just directed a big white Jesus out there. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, I seen it, bro. We be seeing a lot of wild shit on the internet, bro. Like, I remember, like, what, a few months ago, they had the white Jesus, the white dude dressed up. He came in and did, you know, they was all dancing with him and shit. I'm like, what the hell? You know? But they just show you their conditioning. That just shows you their conditioning, bro. Like, shit is crazy. Yeah, it is. I wonder what could stop that, though, because, you know, we all know, like, voodoo and the rituals are natural and our traditional, quote-unquote, religions. I know more people in the West are leaning towards that. Not at a fast rate, I don't know, but I would like to see all of us. I don't know, it's kind of far-fetched, but at what point do we just say fuck this, any Abrahamic religion? Because I want to include Islam and Judaism and all that up under the same umbrella, because it's not something that our ancestors were, you know, living by.
You know what? That's, you know what I'm saying? That's interesting that you say that, but, you know, it's really, if you truthfully think about it, it's a pipe dream. Because if you think about stuff like the Nation of Islam and stuff like that, they'll argue that, okay, well, this isn't the same Islam that the white Jews are practicing. This is this and all of that type of stuff. And then it'll turn into something else. So that's why, like, real talk, I don't care if you're atheist, Christian, Buddhist, you know what I'm saying, you know, you're voodoo, whatever you want to call yourself. As long as you're about black empowerment and us getting this bread, you fine with me. After I get my money, you can go pray five times to the east. You can go, you know, get yourself a Hail Mary. You can go get your Bible, get your crucifix. I don't give a shit. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, you know, trying to take a belief away from somebody, and then even if you think about it, just in the simplest terms, trying to tell a black person they can't do something is going to give you the worst possible reaction. They told black folks you couldn't marry white people. Now what they doing? They running a swirl. You told black folks you couldn't spend your money with white people. Now they running to buy Gucci this, Prada that. You know, so it's like,
so
I don't even
care. Do you think it's just an act of rebellion? Like, I mean, when I say, like, I don't know, because, I mean, I know it's kind of far-fetched, but let people, yeah, I'm all for down with people just, you know, being them. But in my, man, that was just in my opinion, like, I want to see that, you know, one day or, you know, something to that nature. I know more people are leaning from that, but, you know, like, I don't know, bro. Like, it's cool. I would work with anyone, you know, but I just want to see progress. That's my only thing. I want to see some progress in those areas because it's a science factor. I feel like in order to move forward, we have to invest in different sciences and technology. And a lot of times they kind of stagnate that because a lot of people don't believe in it. They say, that's man-made. You know what I'm saying? But all these religions are science. You know what I'm saying? So I don't want to really take that away from people. And I know black people will, you know, they rebel when you say you can't do this, like the Popeyes thing.
Oh, man.
I'm saying that, like, you know, they're going to do what they're going to do at the end of the day. I don't want to control nobody because I don't want nobody to try to control me.
Right.
But it's like, we can do better, bro. Like, if we can get Popeyes 24 million, we can invest in a coding academy for our kids.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying, or even the grown up shit, because that's the where we going into 2020 plus. Like, we talking about AI technology, we about to have more and more self driving cars. Like, who's gonna be these coders behind them?
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? Who's gonna be doing this? Building these industries, we gotta be in that race. You know what I'm saying?
So, I agree with all of that.
Yeah,
but you know what's interesting about that Popeyes thing that you mentioned, that, you know, people was throwing out all these numbers about we giving X amount of millions of dollars and free advertising, all this type of stuff. And one question I have for people saying it is, how the fuck do you know that that's the amount? You know what I'm saying? Because my thing people were really literally beating up people that were reacting to something. And don't get me wrong, like some of the reactions was lightweight conish. You know what I'm saying? There's people acting the fools and all that type of stuff. They also, what's that, Kentucky Fried Chicken released some
vegan thing.
Vegan chicken down there. That line was full of white people. Wasn't nobody standing about when white people lined up. When they dropped new phones, it'd be a bunch of white people. Me in Chicago, I remember years ago when I worked downtown, it was like 12 o'clock at night. It was a bunch of white people and white Latinos lining up to buy some goddamn Jordans at 12 o'clock at night. So, but you know, people always want to talk about black people doing this and it's all these black people doing this and they're not at in the line for a job. Like, nigga, shut the fuck
up.
You know what I'm saying? Other people line up too. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, they do.
It is what it is. That ain't just black thing.
Right. It's not a black phenomenon, but I feel like it's more people be more so looking at it like we should. We don't. In reality, we in a war, so we can't afford to do that type of shit, but I'm not going to say that we are the only people that do that.
But you know what, though? That, in a sense, is also a form of us bowing down to white supremacy because we police ourselves more than they do. You know what I'm saying?
Because
you got people that tell themselves, oh, y'all acting ghetto, making all that noise. Y'all doing all this stuff, acting black around these people.
Right.
Who gives a fuck? I'd have been on trains before with white people drinking and cussing and screaming loud and everything. Right. And they never correct themselves. They just act the fool. Right. But black people just feel like they have to always correct themselves in front of white people.
That is real because a lot of black people still want to, they act different in front of the white gays. That's bullshit because a lot of black people are still seeking validation from whites. And they would say, like, people like me and you, I don't give a fuck either, but I never liked that policing. Don't go in the sun. You get too dark. Don't police us. We police each other way more because a lot of shit that, you know, we got in the world and do and say, nobody's putting it in our heads. That's something we doing.
Yep.
You know, so a lot of times our oppression is self-oppression. You know, we're doing it ourselves. Nobody white is right there, got a gun to your head, got a nothing saying nothing to you. It's all coming from you. And that's like number one. It's really the oppression is really more mental than physical right now. It's a mental slavery.
Oh yeah.
It's mental slavery. So
that's why it lasted so long, because it's mental.
it's a fear-based thing. You know, and it's been transformed, you know, generation to generation. It's been given to every generation. So now I feel like some of us are coming from that. Even back then, you know, we had warriors like Harriet Tubman, we had Nat Turner, we had the rebellion in Haiti. We had warriors, you know, but we got a large strain of the ones who not right now. You know what I'm saying? A lot of them, because to be a slave is complacent.
Yes, it is.
To be free is hard.
Yeah.
Freedom is hard. So more people are complacent. It's easier to go take that gig or that job, that money, instead of going out and getting yourself independently. You know what I'm saying? So that's something as a people we got to change. It's a personality that we have that has to change, you know, because we have to get into that spirit of entrepreneurship. I know you independent, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so you're an independent artist, so you ought to understand it. Even with that, I see more and more artists becoming independent with their moves, and you know, they got their own merch going, they producing their own stuff and putting it out themselves. Right. And in the world we in with the technology, it's possible.
Yep.
You know, you got this phone in your hand, bro, the world is yours. It's all about how you think about it. Most how definitely. Far you think you can go. You know what I'm saying? That's the same mentality we gotta have as a people. Shit, why not? Why can't we have our own Fortune 500 companies owned by us? You know, really, if you look at it, we supposed to have at least 50 of them motherfuckers right now, booming.
Exactly.
You know, because we are the economy. We are the merchandise. We are the ones who they take marketing ploys and shit from. I seen something on Twitter today. It was like, what was it? Like some athletic gummy worms or some shit like that. It was like, it said lit as fuck. And it was on the lit part, it said TM trademark. I'm like, who the fuck is trademarking this shit?
Nobody.
We're not getting we're not getting a dollar from that. I seen that one rapper, the Hot Girl Summer thing, the Mid Girl, she trademarked. I said she was smart on that aspect. On the business aspect. So a lot of our, you got to get that type of message more so than the twerking and all the bullshit. Promote that shit. Be like, oh, put that in your rap. I trademark my shit.
Yeah.
So next time the black community wanted to come up with something else or this or that, trademark this shit. Go to the office. You know, that's the only thing they built anyways. You know, so this thing is about knowing yourself versus as a people, getting your bag, cultivating each other's talent, and moving forward. If we can't do that, then shit, I don't know, bro. Like, I see the future as us progressing, not only here, but globally. You know, because I know you know, like, they population rates are declining. You know, they say they by 2053 they're supposed to be extinct or something like that. What you think about that?
Well, you know,
I know you probably heard about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, it's basically nature cleansing itself. You know what I'm saying? Right. Because not to sound bogus or nothing like that, but white people are not natural. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, if you think about how long white people have been living and how they've been living in the time frame that they've been living, everything about it has been unnatural. Even the way they go about oppressing people, that's not a natural thing. You know what I'm saying? Right. To oppress somebody, to kill somebody because of the color of their skin, just so much stuff that they do is so toxic. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, you know, there hasn't been enough code by black people, you know what I'm saying, worldwide, globally, to actually thwart that. You know what I'm saying? You got so many people that's, you know, easily influenced. They'll sabotage their own just for a couple of crumbs and all of that type of stuff. So, like, you know, at this point now, it doesn't even matter who collaborates with y'all to help y'all stay in power. Y'all all going down. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. So if you want to be a coon and help these white supremacists maintain white supremacy, you may even go first. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, that's just the energy we have right now. And I'm here for it.
I'm here for it too, man. I seen Killer Mike say this, and I'm just talking about like the reaction of the crowd. He was like, shit, we talk about the field nigga and the house nigga. He was like, I want to burn down both fucking plantations, you know, and the crowd went wild. So they just show you the temperature of our people. They down for it, but it just has to start somewhere. Somebody, now I won't even put it on one person. We all have to start there.
Right.
You know, just on a daily motion, daily moves, just collectively, you know, if you were, go to a black business, spend some money there, invest in your own shit, save some of your money. You know what I'm saying? You don't got to get the Louis bag. If you want to get a bag, try to find a black alternative. We got Neat Gosh out here. We got a lot of black businesses. I think Roman Mar in New York, he got some nice shit. So it's like, we out here, we just have to cultivate each other's talents again and fully support each other.
Exactly.
You know, that's part of the reason I want to have you on a platform, because, you know, I see what you're doing. I see your artistry. I see the shit you're trying to put out, trying to promote. And it's like, you one of not many, bro. Like, it's not many artists like that, you know? So, I think you seen The Hidden Colors, right?
Yeah.
What was your thing on? I haven't seen it yet, bro. Like, what was that? What was that like?
So you talking about the newest one?
The newest one, yeah.
So I didn't watch all of it, you know, because I actually was in the process of watching it, but you know, my kids don't let me really watch stuff.
Right.
So like, I'm gonna try to sit with it, you know what I'm saying, and then get my take on it after I have watched the whole thing. But so far, so good. That's all I would say, you know. It's just like, it's phenomenal at this point. Like, you know, he got Ice Cube and Brother Reezy Islam. Shit. Chuck D is in there, you know what I'm saying? Like, and then it's a couple of other people from the past, and then like one of the number one people that people are loving, and I actually love her part so far, as a Shahrazad Ali, you know what I'm saying? So
okay,
it's some good information, you know what I'm saying? Like I say, man, one thing about this one that I can appreciate is it's talking about the warrior spirit, because that's something that white supremacists want to keep suppressed so much. Because even on my most recent project I dropped, I entitled the whole mantra of it Black Empowerment Warrior Class Music. You know what I'm saying? Right. So it's like, it's about fighting back. It's about protecting yourself. And the thing is, when people think about warfare, they automatically think about combat, killing people, all that type of stuff. But war is deeper than that. You know, because even what you just said about buying black and stuff like that, that's a form of warfare. You know what I'm saying? Like, just recently out here in Chicago, it was a nail shop that this brother broke the windows out of because the owner was notorious for beating up sisters. But you know, you still got black women going in there spending their money.
What's up with that, man? That's what I want to talk about too. I seen it and I seen the video. He going back there up there, the damn windows boarded up, and like you got them sitting up in there still, really more than it was before. I'm like, damn. So the ambiance don't mess with you. The fact that he was doing this shit don't mess with you.
Yeah.
You still, I know it's other nail shops in Chicago. Chicago, man, big as hell. I've been there.
It's twice. Several nail shops, black owned nail shops in Chicago. And then you got sisters that do nails out their house. That's way better than that dude in that shop, all that type of stuff. What it really boils down to is self hate. You know what I'm saying? It boils down to self hate. It boils down to, I can get it cheaper from them. That black lady had an attitude when she did my nails. She cost too much. She was mean to me. She didn't give me
any kind
of
bullshit they can come up with.
Yeah, you know,
to not go to a black woman.
But forget about the fact he beat black women's ass. You know what I'm saying? Right. And then, like, those, to tell you the truth, the women that keep going to that nail shop will be the same ones saying, "What a black man, why y'all not protecting us?" And, you know, all I got to say to them is, fuck you. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, this brother literally risked his freedom. You know what I'm saying? Right. To make a statement. And y'all still brought y'all dumb ass back up to that shop. So fuck y'all. You know what I'm saying? I'm not fighting for nobody like that. I refuse to get locked up for somebody like that.
Sadly, bro, I think it's a majority of the black women that think like that. It's sad.
Yeah.
But, you know, that whole protect me thing is just a comeback in the argument at this point. Because if you really wanted that protection shit, you would have it.
Yeah.
You would have been had that in a big way, because you had to make that a priority. It's not a priority for you. So that shit, the video clearly showed that. I'm sad to say I won't be too willing to put my neck out for somebody I don't know if it's not my fucking family. My family, or because this random woman, I don't know. You see what I'm saying? The dude did that. It puts a bad taste in your mouth. I'm not saying if you see some more foul shit, just don't look and do nothing, but I won't be too quick to do that shit because of that reason.
I'm gonna keep it a buck 50 with you, like I like to say. As far as like my reaction to a lot of stuff I see online, I'm to the point now that I wait for all the evidence, because one thing I've learned just looking at some of these incidents that occur is sometimes when some of these black people get raffled up by these white supremacists and stuff like that, that's their nigga wake up call. You know what I'm saying? So it's almost like instead of feeling like every situation is a cause to protest and scream Black Lives Matter, sometimes these niggas need to get their work. You know what I'm saying? Because if you really think about it, a black person on code, they're not going to fall into those situations. You know what I'm saying? Because I even use myself as an example. Being out here in Chicago, I didn't been stopped by the police several times. I didn't get pulled over. Right. You know, police about to pull their guns out, all that type of stuff. And, you know, I survived all of them ordeals because I'm on code. I know how to act.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's not emotional. Right. You know what I'm saying? You literally have to have a military mindset.
And it's like a mindset,
One of the most recent incidents when I got pulled up, I was with my grandfather. And I wasn't even driving. But they were riding on the side of us. They saw me. You know what I'm saying? They saw a brother with locks in his hair. You know, all of that type of stuff. They bust the dumbass U-turn, pulled us over. They literally asked my grandfather probably about two questions: license and registration. The other police officer was trying to grill me. You know what I'm saying? Right. But you know what? I did like most people don't do. I remained silent. And at that point, he got pissed. He didn't know what to do, because it's like, I'm not arguing with you. I'm not going back and forth. You asked me for my ID. Simply told you I don't have to show that to you. Then stop talking. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, there's no point of trying to make a spectacle of yourself. I got you on film, yada yada yada, like all that stupid shit. You gonna put yourself in a situation you don't need to be in. You know what I'm saying? So
that's one of the downfalls of today too, the phone thing. What do you think we gonna do through the fucking phone? You see what I'm saying? This happening firsthand in front of you, seeing this shit go down. I'm not gonna pull my phone out. Nah, you know, man. It's not because who are you? They got them. They got little chest cameras and all that. So who are you really trying to? Who are you showing this footage to?
And the thing is, and when you know once the, if the footage is seen, who's gonna do something? We've seen
exactly
Eric Garner get killed on film. We've seen Walter exactly. Scott get killed on film. All of these people exactly. get killed on film. What the fuck do the film part, mean? You know what
the fucking part is the one who was recording could have did something. That's the one who could have saved Eric Garner. The one who could have saved these people. You recording footage, I guess you thinking about taking it to the court of law, but if they are the so-called law, who the fuck is going to prosecute them and throw their ass in jail? You know, we just got to start, excuse my friends, buzzing back at their ass. Doing some, when you see some shit go down. I know they have a lot of foul shit to go on, and like we said, some of them are having a wake-up call moment, but, you know, like I said, bitch, my family, like you was in your, you know, with your grandfather, you wasn't, there wasn't the right situation for you to talk. You weren't in the driver's seat. You don't have to talk to him or say shit to him, but let some go down. I know you're not finna pull out your damn phone. You know what I'm saying? Especially let's be your grandpops. That's the mindset, and that's the mentality we have to have. Emotionally too. You know, because we got a lot of heat for each other, but when some shit go down like that with the opposite looking people, oh, it's not as much with most people. You see what I'm saying? We don't have that same clapback. We got to have the same clapback, really more. Be more aggressive because that right there shows them, oh, this is not allowed. You know, this is not allowed no more in our community.
Absolutely. You know? You're not going to stop no bully unless you punch him in the mouth. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. And a lot of people are not prepared for that. That's why, you know what I'm saying? Like, actually, with my newest project, I had a song called Black Labels. And it's something okay. I actually told, because, you know, if we're going to be honest with each other, you know, everybody not with the shits. You know what I'm saying? Everybody not right. prepared to go to bat, even if it's their family. Because, you know, like I said before, you got people that let their kids get killed and just wait on a check from the city. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's almost like,
that's
fuck
up.
That. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, forget that. But, you know what I'm saying? But just truthfully, everybody can be a part of the liberation. You know what I'm saying? If you just spend with your own. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not even going to make it to the point of unrealistic standards because, just being honest, in some cities, people can't just go everywhere black-owned because some people don't have black grocery
yeah,
stores.
That's true.
Some people don't have
that's
black
true.
Gas stations. But you can make a concerted effort to spend your money with a black business and recycle that money more frequently as opposed to just giving it right to white people. You know what I'm saying? So that should be the goal for all black people. That's about black empowerment.
Right, that's why we, you know, that's part of the reason why we hire these technologies. You know, we can order online. I see, what is it? What's the website? Black, think about the
we
website.
We Buy Black.
We Buy Black, bro. They got the whole list about the toilet paper to, from that to washing powder and all kind of shit. I'm like, okay, the underwear thing, you know, they got the whole thing listed for you. So that's an option, you know.
Yep.
So do you think we should segregate for that? Do you think in the future or anytime soon that segregation will help us as a people? If we just, so we bought up a plot of land somewhere and we, you know, it don't have to be inside the country, it could be, but just buy up one of these little towns, we all go there and build, you know, and actually protect the town. Cause I know we had our Tulsa, Oklahoma's, and we had those towns in the past. And we flourished, but post integration in this world we in right now, do you feel like there's something that will help our situation right now for the greater good?
I honestly think that wouldn't be a problem, and I'll take it a step further. I think it should be, if you're going to have a town full of black people, I honestly would only want it to be foundational black Americans. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Because some of these black immigrants that come in are some of the problem. You know what I'm saying? So it's mm-hmm. almost like, and I'm not even talking about the Coons. I'm talking about some of them with the crime and stuff like that. Just some of them are actually a problem as well. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So if you're not truly about black empowerment as a foundation of black American, because we have a certain type of discipline about ourselves and a certain type of respect for the land, because like I said, our ancestors built it. But if you immigrate in here and you don't really get no fuck about it, it's just a come up for you. You're not going to care. You ain't going to care about bringing your drugs and guns and all that type of shit over here doing illegal stuff, because to you, well, if they catch us, they're just going to say it's black, but they're not going to say it's me being Trinidadian. It's not me being Ghanaian. It's going to be them. It's going to be all black people. And that's how they build us, you know what I'm saying? Because you got so many criminals from other countries coming here. They're slipping through the cracks. And I mean, and unfortunately, you had the hurricane in the Bahamas and stuff like that. But when stuff like that happened, you never know who you letting in the country.
Man.
You know what I'm saying? So it's almost like, you know, people say that's bogus, that's xenophobic. And that's like, I don't even give a fuck. I'm just being real, because anytime crime is brought up, they're not saying, oh, this Belizean immigrant committed crime. They're going to say this black person. know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that is our job, because outside, you know, because they say, oh, we all looking like.
Right.
But for us as a community, it is up to us to make those differences and be like, okay, this is ours. We don't respect you because you do have a culture. You come from a different place. But we have to respect ourselves enough to be like, okay, this is for us. This is off limits. This is our culture. Even with the, just like with whites, they take certain shit. But the world has taken hip-hop.
Oh,
the world has taken a lot of our cultural things that we created here, and we share them, you know. But on this land, on this soil, we have to get to the point, okay, these are our shops. You know, if you degrade these shops, you talk crazy to these people in these shops that's black-owned, it's a problem. You got to get out of here.
Yep.
We haven't taken that route yet as a people post, you know, integration. I think we're starting to do that now with this whole 80 talk, and because it's needed, bro. Anybody can set up shop. I know you got 100 Arabs in your damn neighborhood. Same here in Memphis. So, and even with the black immigrants, they can set up a Jamaican spot. Cool. I like Jamaican food, but respect our people. Don't bring the drugs and the crime and all this that come with it, because you just trying to get ahead. We work too hard for this shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So,
real talk. That's real talk.
Yeah, bro. Segregation is something that we have to do, especially with our curriculums too. What you feel about homeschooling, bro? What do you think about that?
I think it's a good option if you have a particular curriculum in place for your child. You know what I'm saying? I mean, because the whole purpose of that is to help your child compete against the other schools that are not, you know, miseducate them and all that type of stuff. But at the same time, you know, it can't just be basically you just having your kid not going and getting a white man education, but you're not teaching them shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, I tried it out, you know what I'm saying? But I'm not the best person to do that. So my kids are going to a regular school right now. But at the same time, I do debriefing, you know what I'm saying? So like they go into a school, I'm teaching them too. So they still getting that real information and all that type of stuff. But, you know, hopefully in the future I can put them in the African Center School and something that's going to be geared towards the lifestyle they live.
Yeah, of course, because, you know, a lot of us don't have the time, but it's getting to the point now. Part of the reason I asked the question, because I seen they passed a law about they're going to start teaching LGBT history in Illinois schools.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, to debrief them at least, you know, we have to do those things. Give them that little history course of this, you know, tell them the truth about certain things and what we tolerate, what we don't tolerate as a culture, as a people.
Right.
Just that alone curbs a lot of that bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, my damn parents told me at the house, this ain't right, you know.
Yeah,
I'm
giving my son a crash course in that right now, you know what I'm saying, because he's very inquisitive when it comes to that subject, so I'm keeping him kind of abreast of what it is, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, because I don't believe in lying to him. So, you know, a man should not be wearing no dress. A man is not no woman. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I don't give a fuck about being politically correct. You know what I'm saying? I'm extremely blunt with him when it comes to stuff like that. You know, he's 7 years old and he knows how babies are made. You know what I'm saying? I don't have to wait until he's 12 to tell him that. So it's like, you know, that way he knows when he gets older. My dad already told me this. You know what I'm saying? I'm not surprised by none of this stuff. And can't nobody lie to me, you know, and make me feel that, oh, well, Tyler can be Tanya now. No, the fuck he can't. Tyler is going to be Tyler for the rest of his life. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, so it is what it is.
Right. Because I seen was the Dave Chappelle skit. He was like, well, when he was on the show, they were like, he couldn't say faggot. Mm-hmm. But he asked the woman, okay, if I can't say this, why is it okay for me to say nigga with impunity? You know what I'm saying? And it go back to that PC culture don't work for us.
Nah.
You see what I'm saying? It's only just to serve other people. Everybody but us. It serves everybody but us. And today, this is getting to like, they trying to tighten it more and more and more. And it's like, bro, I think I've seen a lot of pushback, just like in the Malik Yoba Breakfast Club interview. We had like 17,000 dislikes.
You know? Yeah, that's my first time seeing something like that. That was crazy.
Yeah. But it just shows you that pushback, because the more and more you start to push things on people, the more they reject them.
Yep.
And coming up, I wasn't, you know, cool with the gay shit per se, but I wasn't just fucking gay people up just for the hell of it. I had other shit to do.
Right.
But once you start pushing that shit on me, then it gives me the reason to do that, to have the reaction, and that's the reaction we having now.
But you know what's crazy about that whole thing with gay people? I know so many gay people. Like, I'm related to some gay people. You know, I'm cool with gay people. I get along with them and all that type of stuff. It's their lifestyle. But at the same time, they don't even support that bullshit. Some of them have said this. They have came and said this.
I'm saying it too.
But you know, like, a lot of them, they kind of like don't want to rock the boat. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, for the ones that are not fearless, and I mean, the ones that are fearless and they coming out saying something, I respect them because, you know, this is because they understand. You know what I'm saying? Because some of these people, they became gay because of, like, you know, molestation and all that type of stuff, or it was a phase and all of that type of stuff. So they understand that it's not natural, but, you know, it's something they're doing. It's basically a demon.
It's their lifestyle.
You know what I'm saying? They're dealing with it. So, but they not getting on board with this bullshit, like that interview. You know what I'm saying? Right. Because you can tell, because the first thing, because I didn't even watch the whole interview, but the first thing I said was, well, white people are funding this. And it's just funny that I said that. And yesterday, I think Tariq did a broadcast and he was breaking down, like, all of these different white organizations that's funding it. You know what I'm saying? And you're talking about billion-dollar corporations that's pushing this. So it's like, it makes sense now. They put these Negroes out here to basically come out here spewing white supremacist rhetoric, talking in circles, confusing everybody that's pretty much jokes. But at the same time, from the back end, the white people just got all the money. They putting the agenda into play. You know what I'm saying? The white people, the black people they got out there is just for shits and giggles.
Right.
They putting this shit in play with money. That's why, like, you know, if you really want to disrupt some shit with a white supremacist, you attack the money or you take the lives away. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Because all of this screaming and protesting and yelling and shit,
that ain't gonna do shit. Right.
They don't care about nothing but losing money or losing life.
Yeah, of course. And that's been the case. That's another thing. We got to change our tactics. This March, not 1965. It's 2020, basically. And we had to do something. The reason those tactics worked then, because it was something new. It was fresh.
Right.
It was something that was never done before. That's why it was so damn electrifying. They never seen nobody boycott a damn bus before. So they've seen it right now. We got to come up with something else they haven't seen. There's some shit that's going to be like, oh, shit, they doing that? You know, and that's something we got to attack, like you said, with economically, socially, shit, just when you see something they doing that's wrong, you might have to take about it. You know, and that's something we have to be willing to do as a people, you know, also as individuals. I knew it was people funding that stuff, but I didn't know how deep it was. Yes, I did, because just like the Black Lives Matter thing, I think it started with that. Because around that time, because I know it's two lesbians that started it. So that was that was like the first lit peak we seen in the world, like when they started just pushing that agenda firsthand, because it wasn't a black organization to begin with. It wasn't for us. Nah. The whole thing, it was a Trojan horse. The whole thing was for them to take that, you know, get that momentum going with the Trayvon and the Mike Brown thing, and they just took that shit straight to the LGBT world. I'm like, oh shit. That was around 14, 15, and now we seen it. I'm like, okay, and that's how we get here. You know, and they haven't stopped funding it, but at the end of the day, you can't fight nature. You can't stop nature, bro. And that's something they have to understand. You can put $1 trillion behind this shit. You still not gonna stop people from being who they came in this world to be. You see what I'm saying? You're not gonna change that. Especially with our people, because we've been together, 180 some thousand years? You know, black man, black woman. So that's not gonna change. I'm more so concerned about just the kids, because I know a lot of, you know, people like our age, you know, we know what's up, but they're attacking the kids, and that's the problem.
Yeah, you know, but it's really up to our age group. And I'll say, like, you know, the 18 to possibly 40-year-olds to fight this, you know what I'm saying? Because the younger groups, they pretty much impressionable, so they're going to sway either way. You know what I'm saying? Older people are pretty much set in their ways, so it's like, you know, if they down for it, they down for you gonna see. You know what I'm saying? If they not down for it, they not changing. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, it's tiring. You know what I'm saying? I actually said this a couple of weeks back, like, you know, fighting for, like, black liberation and everything is a labor of love. You know what I'm saying? Like, they people want to say stuff like, oh man, race hustling and all this type of shit. Well, tell me where the fucking money is for this shit, goddamn it, because it ain't no money in no damn empowering black people.
Right.
People want to point to people like those fake activists in Ferguson, but they not empowering black people. They swaying shit to gay stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it is what it is.
And that's what they feel. Really, I guess they group all, quote unquote, what I'm looking for, protests and movements under the same umbrella.
Yeah.
And even with that, if you're talking about something that's quote unquote pro black, they want to label you such, or you're doing it for money, or you broke, or you doing this or this. This is not about money, bro.
Nah,
as we can see, you know, it's not about money, because we just seen Jay-Z, what he did with his shit. He got $1 billion, so it's not about money with us, bro. So when you see us doing it, it's like, okay, this is about survival, you know, more than anything else. Because we're not seeing a dime from, we might see some, you know, some from here and there. We selling some things, cool, you know, that's fair, but it's not for money, you know. But some of our people think about anyway is money and material things. That's the thing, they're not seeing a big picture. Whites don't, other people don't give a fuck about money like that. They care about money, but it's more so. They thinking 10 years ahead. They don't, you know. Yeah.
They don't more so care about the liquid quick money. They more so care about that long money.
The long term money. And that's what we don't understand. Like, we gotta play for long haul. Like Nipsey was talking about. He was like, you know, we gotta get the generation of wealth going. Absolutely. And the only way to do that is we gotta invest in real estate. We gotta invest in businesses, in each other fully. You know, so even with that, brother, I've seen a lot of people from his demise. I've seen a lot of people grow from that and come up from that, you know, more so they learn a lot from that. Were you influenced by Nips? I think I seen somebody that you was like, you know, used to, you know, listen to Nip and all that before, you know, he transitioned. What's up with Nip? What's your thing? What's your take on Nip?
You know what I'm saying? Like, I wasn't necessarily like the biggest Nipsey Hussle fan when he first came out, you know, because like myself included, other independent artists, you know, it's hard to kind of gauge like who's going to hear your message. You never really know, you know what I'm saying? Right. Until like you either blow up or you pass, you know what I'm saying? And it's like with him, I saw him in a movie first. He was in that movie with Jilly the Kid and Vin Grans as his father. I saw that movie first before I even listened to his music. You know what I'm saying? Right. And it's like, you know, after I heard some of his earlier music, I was like, oh, okay, cool. But you know, so I didn't really come back around like listening to him like that until he actually started promoting his album. You know what I'm saying? Because I didn't even know about the mixtapes like that. Because like I said, like I don't really follow music like that unless I really like somebody. And it's like, you know, once I started hearing what he was doing with the Victory Lap project, it was like, man, you know, this dude dope. So that actually made me listen to his old music. You know what I'm saying? And it's like when he passed away, it was hard because like I saw what he represented. He represented like, you know, black empowerment, but at the same time, not being afraid to celebrate the fruits of your labor. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times people think black empowerment means struggling and being all destitute and broke. But no, it ain't nothing wrong with getting you a Wraith if you want a Wraith. You know what I'm saying? It ain't nothing wrong with getting you a Rollie if you want a Rollie. My whole thing is don't feel like as soon as you get the money, you got to get that shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, recycle your money. But if you want to splurge and treat yourself to some nice shit, you deserve it. You know what I'm saying? And that's one thing about him. You know what I'm saying? Because he did for his community. But he still made sure he was flat. You know what I'm saying? So
he was hip hop. He was a revolutionary. He was all those things wrapped in one.
Exactly.
And the money didn't necessarily make him because he was that way before he had the money.
Exactly.
That's the thing a lot of people forget.
Yeah.
You're not, the money don't make you. You make the money.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
So true.
So yeah. So I remember seeing him around 2014, 15 with that chain. He had the Malcolm X chain. And this when I was coming up and, you know, conscience reading up and all that. I'm like, okay, I didn't necessarily fuck with his music, but I liked it. You know what I'm saying? I like maybe some of his tracks, but I followed him based on that alone, just who he was. I'm like, okay, he got the chain. I never seen an iced out Malcolm X. You see what I'm saying? I'm like, okay, this showed me what your mindset is, because everybody else I see, they got the Jesus piece.
Right.
They got some other bullshit that they done iced out. But yeah, I'm like, okay. So yeah, I feel like that right there was a hit. I feel like there was a conspiracy to kill him off, because I do know, I heard they was trying to build up in the area of South Central, you know, right there where he was at, and he was trying to buy up stuff. So it was like, okay, that was a hit. It's kind of obvious, man. It's not beyond him to do something like that.
You see what I'm saying? You really can't, you can't really put nothing past these white supremacists, because at the end of the day, it's all about domination. You know what I'm saying? It's all about domination. It's all about control. It's about, you know, basically keeping people that look like us down.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, you know, people want to say stuff like, oh, it's not that deep. You know what I'm saying? It ain't that serious. Like, what? You know what I'm saying? Like, these are the same group of people that did the Tuskegee experiment. These are the same type of people that started Planned Parenthood. You know what I'm saying? These are the same type of people that bombed people on Move Street, the Move movement. So
yeah,
these are the same type of people that killed Fred Hampton.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, what the fuck can't you put past them? You know what I'm saying? Right. Because these people have not changed. They've shown us over time who they are. So I don't put a goddamn thing past them. I don't trust them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. So, like, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, they got a lot of butter in their hands, but, you know, the ones who don't believe it are the ones still trying to still have some faith in this system. They still have some faith. Or they feel like they got some type of something invested in this system, which they don't. Because at the end of the day, it's not benefiting us, really. You know, even though we know we built it, it's not benefiting us as a people.
Nah.
You know, this current system is not. And those are the ones who will fight you for it. Yeah. Because they feel like, you know, I went to the service, or I went to the schools and I got this Fortune 500 company. I'm at the office. I got a, you know, corporate job now. So I'm all in the system. Now you just one gear in the system. You're not changing shit by doing it. You know, even with the politics, I see they talking about the little Democratic 2020 candidates. And it's like none of those people are going to do shit for us. They puppets.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So my whole thing with they, even 2020 plus, like, bro, we need to have a black vote. Like I seen on the summit, and I know people been talking about it before, but he put it to the forefront this past few days. We're like, we gotta vote on these things for us. What is our agenda?
Exactly.
You know, fuck everybody else. You don't see Asians really going after there. You don't see Hispanics really talking about who they gonna vote for. Or these Jews don't do that. They get together, they come up with a plan for themselves, and they execute it.
Yeah, all of these groups have an economic base, so they don't have to basically beg people to do stuff for them. They could just come with that bag of money and get their demands met. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. You don't even know where they stay at, bro. And it's like, and that's the thing we have to do, you know, in a real way. Before I get you out of here, or before we end, I want to ask you some more of on the metaphysical level. What do you think about our origins? What do you think we come from? You know, what is the black race's origin? You know, the Egyptians thought we came from the Sirius star system. You know, so what do you think about those things? I know you familiar with Bobby Heenan and all that, right? You
follow him? Yeah, I know who he is.
Yeah.
I follow him, but I know who he is.
Yeah, yeah. You familiar with him. Let me say
So one thing I would say is this. I don't really get too much into that per se, the whole, you know, metaphysical, where we come from, all that type of stuff, because yes, I reference, like, the ancestors. I understand numerology. You know what I'm saying? I, you know, even read stuff like Zodiac and all that type of stuff just to get an understanding. But I don't get caught up in that, because one thing I tell people is I live in the natural realm. I don't live in the spirit realm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, now I operate in the spirit realm whenever I need to, but I live in the natural realm. And it's like, one thing about that is it's kind of like that whole, you know, name calling, what you want to call yourself.
Mm-hmm.
People get so wrapped up into that stuff, and then they'll start feeling like, you know what? There's nothing else for me to focus on. The spirit's going to take control of me. But okay, so tell the spirit to pay your rent then. Tell the spirit to pay your light bill, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's almost like, you know, I don't really get too much wrapped up in that. I do believe it exists, you know what I'm saying? And I reverence it, I respect it, but, you know, I'm not the person to ask that question, you know what I'm saying? Because you ain't going to get far with me with that one.
Yeah, man. I only ask it because, you know, we like I was saying about who we are and all that. Maybe that could somehow get us to some type of common ground, because, and I know that's a topic that can go on and on forever, but I question those things, because origin, more so than anything, maybe could unify us in a way versus, you know, separate us. You see what I'm saying? I feel like there'd be something more. That's why we lean on Africa. We talk about Africa. Even though I know we Atos and here, but there's like the unifying thing. We, you know, we have a place of origin. So it's more so we can come together up under that, knowing where we come from, versus, because we so fractured out here right now, and we so unorganized to the point we have to have a common glue. Not only with the agenda, but just the identity. You know what I'm saying? Like, Atos could be good enough for me, you know.
Yeah,
but
man,
I know everybody else will have their own opinions on it, and somebody else might say this or that, but at this point in time, the Atos thing is good enough for me. And like, even with my brand, A-Bar, before the Atos thing happened, it was like I came with it 2017. So it was kind of this part of the reason I named the brand it A-Bar, African Black American Refugee, because it's more so of a identifier. And it's a question also, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's an ongoing question. Like, who are we? Are we Africans? Are we Blacks? Are we Americans? Are we refugees? Because we came from somewhere, and a lot of people, we still looking for refuge, even in the country that we are in.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, man, those things are ongoing. And that's what makes it so exciting, because we can talk about this shit forever, like, in different variations, but it's always going to be a new piece to the puzzle.
Absolutely. You see what I'm saying? Absolutely.
Yeah, man, so what you think the future holds for you, like, in the next year? What's your goal for the next year, man, as far as your artistry and what you plan to get out as a person, as an artist? What's your goal for the next, say, year, you know?
Well, first and foremost, I'm trying to finish this decade strong, you know what I'm saying? So, one, you know, I'm still promoting my project I just dropped, you know what I'm saying? Like, taking that into overdrive. Also, trying to get out and start doing some live performances, you know what I'm saying? That's, and then, like, next year, I just want to build on that, you know what I'm saying? Like, continuously build up my brand, my artistry and everything, put out more records, you know what I'm saying? Possibly do more collaborations. I'm not really too keen on doing collaborations for the most part, because I know my work ethic, you know what I'm saying, isn't always matched by people I collaborate with. So just continue just building myself, get into other investment opportunities, you know what I'm saying? Like, and continue this message of Black empowerment, you know what I'm saying? Because I actually look to start discovering other artists that are similar to myself and just start promoting them, you know what I'm saying? So just really trying to, like, keep this message out there, because one thing we can do is we can push our propaganda through our music better than anybody else, you know what I'm saying? So that's the whole goal right now, man.
Right, that's what's up, man. Sound good to me, man. So I'm gonna look out for your tour dates. You know, you come through Memphis, I'm gonna come. You know, I'm gonna support, of course. You know, just tell the people, are you currently finna go on tour or anything?
Not yet. I'm still actually putting that together, you know what I'm saying? Because, like I said, like, I just dropped the project actually on August 30th, you know what I'm saying? So right now I'm trying to just gauge based off of, like, analytics, like what cities are rocking with it better than others. And then like, once I get all that information, I'll put it together. But, you know, I may slide through Memphis, you know what I'm saying? Because it's always love in Memphis, man.
Right, that's what's up. That's the blessing of technology today, bro. That's the gift, the analytics part. But I think this about wraps it up, man. Thanks for your input on these things and these topics and your energy. That wraps it up for episode 3, man. You want to sign out?
Yeah, it's your man, the Melanated God, Jerry D. Finest. Check out the Black Code 2 everywhere, but get it from D. Finest, jerrydfinest.com. Show me that love. Much love to the host for having me, man. Y'all be safe out there. Much love.
That's right. Space Station Podcast. We out. Peace.